Joan Rivers, a comedian, best-selling author, television talk show host, and fashionista, has been called one of the world's hardest-working celebrities. She's also one of its most vocal proponents of cosmetic surgery, from wrinkle fillers and Botox to nose jobs, breast enhancement, and liposuction. Now, with the help of Valerie Frankel, Joan Rivers has written about her experience under the knife in her latest book, Men Are Stupid and They Like Big Boobs, A Woman's Guide to Beauty Through Plastic Surgery. It's published by Simon & Schuster, and I'm delighted that it brings Joan Rivers to this show today.
Great.
Welcome back.
And there's a second book. They didn't send you that, huh?
No. We'll talk about the novel, too, as well.
Yeah, got great reviews. Go figure.
Go figure why.
Because I wanted to write a funny little novel about what happens backstage at the Academy Awards. Funny mystery. And knocked it out in 4 months. And we're getting, like, the star from Publishers Weekly. I mean, it's amazing. You never know in the business what's going to work.
So you took all the stuff that you know, and then you added a murder mystery. It's kind of like what Gypsy Rose Lee did.
Exactly.
You just add that murder, and then you can talk about all the insides.
Yeah.
Give us the inside dope.
Well, you're really getting the gift bags.
Have the men who've interviewed you ever protested over this title, Men Are Stupid and They Like Big Boobs?
Yes, but then they haven't read the second part. Or they haven't read the book, because that was not my quote. That was your wonderful Marilyn Monroe's quote. Mm. And she just told it to me at a party years ago when I was going out with a young man whose father was her lawyer, and I was invited to a dinner party, and she sat next to me and said, because she always said, now, like, the least threatening person. She was very shy. And she said, don't ever forget. Men are dumb and like big tits.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, I was 19. Let's go to Barnard. Okay, whatever.
But that's before you got into plastic surgery, although the cover of the book is a bit of an exaggeration.
Yeah. Well, the cover of the book, I'm wearing fake breasts and the whole thing. And I think it's hilarious. But half the people say to me, are those yours? Because they can't see. They were too subtle in the cover.
That's not very subtle, Joan.
That is a fake, plastic fake thing.
Just one more thing before we get to the details of this book. Let's talk about some really important stuff. What do you think of Michelle Obama's dress last night?
First of all, I voted for them. Let's start there. I thought the daughters looked adorable. I thought the dress, I think they were trying to say, look how far we've come from slavery. Because it looked like she'd been picking cotton. I never saw a stupider dress in my life. I thought the way it was attached was badly done. It didn't fit her well. I just wanted to go up there and say, oh, please.
Now, this is Jason Wu. He's just 26.
I bet he is.
He's been in the business 4 years
and
or so.
Yeah, good.
But
go.
He's being compared to Oscar De La Renta.
Well,
and
not
Carolina
nicely. He's probably going to be wonderful. It was a heavy dress. It wasn't becoming to her figure. It didn't work well. Somebody said, did they add that piece? The one shoulder. She could have looked, she could be such a fashionista. And I was so upset with the dress. I really was upset with it.
Well, what about the other dress, the yellow brocade dress that she wore to the swearing-in ceremony?
Better.
Now, that was designed by Cuban-born American designer Isabel Toledo.
Oh, stop with Cuban and this.
But there's a lot of politics in these decisions.
That's what I'm saying. Why don't we just get a good designer? I don't care who. If Hitler came back and could have made her look good, I'd say, good for him. That's one for Adolf.
I'm sorry I draw the line on Hitler designing the dress for the First Lady.
It would have been, I'll tell you, a lot of buttons and brass and leather. She would have looked really hot.
Well, do you think that...
Who cares that Cuban there, this, that? You want her to look beautiful. I think this country has come so far. Nobody voted for him because he's an African-American. I think let's stop all this and let's just say we got the best man at the moment and let's get the best designer at the moment.
Well, there is that sense of the Camelot redux. And there are people saying that she may start new fashion trends for women the way that Jackie Kennedy did with her trademark haircut and her pillbox hats.
Well, I think the girls looked wonderful. The little girls wore gloves. I was cheering because little girls, when you're dressed up, you should be in a pretty coat and you should wear your little white gloves. Doesn't kill anybody. The girls looked so great. And let's hope we'll get some of those kids that are wearing these little hot outfits out of them and looking like little girls again.
So let's get back to your book.
Okay.
We discussed plastic surgery the last time you were here. I think that was 1999, almost 10 years ago.
Was I in bandages?
Well, I've wondered how much work you've had done since then.
I do very little, but I've done a lot of very littles. I went through the book, and that's why the book is, you know, the book is a very serious book. I mean, we did so much research, and it really tells you what each procedure is like and what the
and
pitfalls
every chemical that it gets used.
You should
some
know
of them sound horrifying.
Yes, you should know everything before you go in for it. What have I done since 1990? Probably, that's what's always, well, Botox, of course, but over 4 million women now a year have Botox. That doesn't even count. But I'm sure I probably did it under the chin somewhere along the line.
In the book, you write about the rewards and the risks of plastic surgery. Do you think that people are taking these nips and tugs a bit too lightly in some cases?
Oh, absolutely. I think when you can pick up a magazine or a throwaway newspaper and there's a doctor advertising and you go to that idiot, then you're not taking it seriously. You've got to understand it's surgery.
Well, aren't nerves cut in some cases? And nerves don't regenerate. Some of the people I've seen after they've had their lower eyelids done look like they're in constant wide-eyed shock.
Yeah, Eliza looked like that for a while. She got it fixed, allegedly. Robert Redford, you don't recognize him, allegedly. Let's just do one big allegedly for the rest of the show, okay?
Somebody who looks like Robert Redford, who's involved with the Sundance Festival, has had surgery.
It's so brilliant. Some man is, and he better find out who he is, Robert. Have this man arrested.
After describing each procedure, you ask, what's the worst that can happen? And the answer very often you say is death.
Yes.
Well, I'm not sure then I want to risk that no matter how good the odds.
Then you shouldn't. All I'm trying to say, and I do say over and over, anytime you are put under, anytime an anesthesiologist is on call and you are being put under, there is that chance, slight as it is, that you won't come out. And we know that with a Kanye West mother who went to some guy she saw on Oprah. You know, I mean, I find it just fascinating. And she died. I think the Queen of Spain's mother went in for an eye job about 10 years ago and didn't come out.
Well, Oprah praised Kate Winslet on her show the other day for having real breasts.
So boring. And they will be real until Kate takes a look in the mirror and doesn't make them real.
Well, in
Kate case, right now is an actress. Mm-hmm. So she will do nothing for 3 years till she looks a little old.
Do you describe each procedure in so much graphic detail as a way of dissuading some people?
No, I think, boy, your questions are good. No, I describe it that if you want to know what they're going to do, it's there to be found. But and some people, and stop reading if you don't want to read that much.
Well, that's after you've thrown up.
After you've thrown up, if you have. But if you want to get your eyes done, you should know what they're going to do. And then it's your choice. Do I want it? Don't I want it? But we're acting like, did you know what it looks like when they take out your appendix? Do you know what it looks like when they do a hernia operation? All operations are very scary.
But there are two kinds of plastic surgery, I would think. Some people go in just hoping that they will look like they looked 10 years ago.
Right.
And they want something very natural. And then there are other people who aren't concerned about that, who actually like what plastic surgery does. I mean, you look like you've had work done. And there are other people who've come on the show where the first thing everybody said to me is, did you see how much work she's had done? And I would have thought that was something that people would try to avoid.
It's not for you to judge or me to judge. I don't think plastic surgery is about looking in the mirror and being happy with what you see. And it's that simple.
But why are you looking in the mirror? I don't mean you in particular, but why are people looking in the mirror and not being happy with what they see?
Oh, you're so right. All those ugly women, all those pigs that you're one of the men that never asked to dance, all those women that people pass by, that they can't get their luggage taken, and they pass. Oh, yeah, you're so right. Inner beauty, I spit on inner beauty, and that we teach our children this is disgusting.
Well, we got all sorts of messages from listeners, like I'll Mandy bet. From New York City, who left a comment on our show page. She said, women live better when they accept themselves and love Good. Themselves without the help of plastic surgery.
Great, and I bet she's a lesbian.
I can't be sure from this message.
No, I know that. It's everybody do what you want. Either Mandy is amazing looking, or she's one of these women that doesn't care. Good. I don't care. I don't care about Mandy. I care about me.
But you say ugly. An awful lot of very beautiful women have yeah. plastic surgery done, and I wonder about them. Is it because they're afraid that they're going to look like they're older? What they look like is that they've had plastic surgery.
But it doesn't matter if they're happy. I had a friend in high school who had a very ugly nose, and she went and she had a bad nose job. You could tell when she was going to sneeze 3 weeks before she was going to sneeze. It was so, you know. She thought she was amazing, and she had an amazing life because of it. It's all about confidence. Mm-hmm. Good for Wendy for having confidence the way she looks.
And you say, I realize, I'm quoting you, what plastic surgery is for, not for tightening, not for changing outward appearances, but for making you feel better about yourself.
Absolutely. I get up in the morning, and I look in the mirror, whether you like it or you don't like it or whoever likes it, and I say, for my age, I look good. I went to my 50th reunion at Barnard, and for my age, I thought I looked great. That's all. I don't care what they thought. They could have walked in and said, Joan looks like a clown. I don't care.
But if I wanted to feel better, why not just take Prozac?
Another way to go, become a druggie. Absolutely. There are many ways to spend
your money.
Well, there
is something addictive about plastic surgery for some people,
isn't
there?
And there's something addictive about Prozac for a lot of my friends.
And heroin as well.
And heroin as well. Drug of choice. I just think we live in a society, and why we try to pretend it isn't so. We live in a society where looks count, where it's totally a young, youth-oriented society. And if you want to look better about yourself, a friend of mine was going up the a man going up the escalator at Bloomingdale's, and he said, looked in a mirror and said, there's my father. And then he realized it was a mirror. And he went and he got his chin done. Great.
My guest is Joan Rivers, whose book, Men Are Stupid and They Like Big Boobs, A Woman's Guide to Beauty Through Plastic Surgery, is published by Pocket Books, written with the help of Valerie Frankel.
Wonderful girl.
And you collaborated on your novel as well.
With a brilliant woman named Geraldine Farmer, who is a mystery writer. So we got together, because I didn't know really. I'd worked with Donald Westlake, who I'm sure you had on your show at different times.
Yeah, they just passed away,
unfortunately. Just died New Year's Eve.
In fact, he was booked on our show to talk about a movie that had been made from one of his novels.
I loved him.
And then I read the obituary in the New York Times.
Loved him. We used to laugh, and we wrote two movies that didn't get done together, two mysteries. So I had Geraldine come in and work with me, and I gave her all the real gossip on the red carpet and all the real gossip on what goes on in the rehabs. And we put it all together and called Murder at the Academy Awards. And it's a funny, very good mystery, because she's a terrific mystery writer. And we're getting these amazing reviews. So I'm thrilled.
It does sound a little autobiographical. She not only does the interviews of celebrities, but she does them with her daughter.
Yeah.
How much is she, Joan Rivers?
And she also has a Yorkie.
Well, you have three dogs, don't you?
I have three dogs, yeah. But it's very obviously, it's me 25 years ago. And it just makes it easy. I think the reason I made the heroine so close to me is because you really know what I'm saying is the truth. And when they read it, it's really the inside of what really goes on.
And is this pre-plastic surgery?
Oh, no. Her best friend is a plastic surgeon.
Lynn from Brooklyn wants you to explain how, even if we accept the premise that cosmetic surgery makes life better for women, how women who are not as wealthy as you are supposed to make themselves look good by your standards. You're talking, she says, about a tiny fraction of the women of the world. And that makes your point irrelevant.
No, it does. Oh, Lynn, calm down. It does not make my point irrelevant.
And then other people say, why not change? Another woman wrote, why not change society and make us less youth-oriented?
Great. Where do I sign? You're damn right I want that. You're,
yeah, but what about the money? It is expensive,
it's expensive.
Isn't it?
So is a new car. So is so you do little things. Get Botox. Botox is not that. Get a face peel. Do what you can. Go to a doctor, find out how much. Yeah, let me tell you something. You go all through your life with your face and your body. Don't get the new car. Get better, as I say, a new face coming out of an old car than an old face coming out of a new car. I'd rather get my hair bleached than get a new pair of shoes. Do what you want with your life. And you know something? We do find a way to get what we want.
There are some people who have no choice. I know someone who needs to have Botox treatments because she has an illness that affects her eyes.
Well, that's how Botox started, with that. That they were doing it, and they suddenly noticed that when they were doing the treatments around the eyes, they looked so much younger, or the patients looked so much younger. That was a husband and wife team of physicians that said, oh, wait. Absolutely. There's also something now that they were putting in the eyes for glaucoma that grows the eyelashes.
I know, because if you look at me, you'll see that this eyelash is longer than the other one.
Yes. So why don't you even them out?
Because they're very expensive, and I use it to keep my eye pressure down. I think that's more important than having the long eyelashes.
Well, you're a man.
I like being out of balance.
Have your eyelashes.
And I'd be afraid to stick that stuff in my eye
if it's affecting
your pressure.
No. But they're now doing a cosmetic, which is coming out, I think, in 3 months, that you could put it on the top of your lids, and it grows the women's lashes. And that's great. If they want it, that's great. If you don't want lashes, take the hair from your ears. Take the hair from your husband's ears.
In the New York Times recently, was it Deborah Solomon? You talked about your two facelifts, liposuction, your plump lips. Are there any procedures that you've considered but decided against?
Yes. a circumcision. I really thought about it because I'm a very good Jew. And then I thought, no. No, I don't know. Everyone thinks like I'm in there all the time. As I said, I've done very minor things a lot, which I do believe in. I've done 75 years old. I've had two facelifts. Not bad for my business. Not bad when you're on television all the time. I don't know. I'll tell you what does scare me, and it's only because maybe it's my age. They're now enlarging their G-spots, and I think that's tricky. I don't know. Again, the research that we did on the book, that it's done, and women are very happy with it. So, unfortunately, it's temporary. It's like Botox. So every 6 months, woman has to go and have a G-spot enlarged again. I told this to my daughter, Melissa. I pass it on to a younger generation.
Does Melissa, is she okay with all the plastic surgery you've had? I'm not asking you whether she's had that other operation.
She is so anti-everything I am. You know, it's the next generation. Mm-hmm. My house is very formal. Her house is very informal. I wear a lot of makeup. Missy wears very little makeup. So it's really not. But remember, she's still young. Maybe, again, there will come a time where she will look in the mirror and she will go, I hate my chin. Look at Nora Ephron. I hate my chin. Gloria Steinem. All these women that we all march together all have done things themselves, allegedly.
Well, and you say any number of men. You mentioned the man at Sundance. There's also Mickey Rourke, who you say had his screws tightened a few too many times. But have you seen him in The Wrestler? He looks like a wreck.
My God. He needs his screws tightened because they are so loose. Now, my joke about him is he was wearing Calvin Klein, but I mean he had killed Calvin and was wearing the skin. Yeah, he looked wild in that.
Now, he's a man that everybody likes to make fun of because he has made so many enemies over the years. I know somebody who said that she appeared in a film with him, and years later she saw him in the gutter in Hollywood, and he said, help me, and she said she would have helped anybody in that situation. And then she thought, wait, that's Mickey Rourke, and then she just walked by.
I've heard terrible things.
But I'm so pleased by his performance in The Wrestler.
It's
amazing.
Oh, the performance was amazing. I mean, but you don't know if he's acting. He has to do a follow-up film to see. I thought The Wrestler was a great movie. Very depressing, but a wonderful movie.
Now, you are very open about your procedures, but not everyone is that way. And you tell a story in your book about seeing two other post-op facelift women in the hospital who had to make up a story.
It was my first facelift, so this goes back like 30 years ago. And I was just starting Carson. And I'm walking in the hospital. And in those days, they wrapped you like a mummy. You look like you just came out of King Tut's tomb. And two other women are walking down the corridor, dressed like mummies, but beautiful. And I said, oh, did you have facelifts? And they said, automobile accidents. I thought, how amazing. Exactly the same areas. People will tell you their sex life. People will tell you how much money they have. And people will not tell you that they have plastic surgery.
Although it has changed in recent years, hasn't it? Or are people just less likely to try to cover it up?
I think the comedians have talked about it. The Lily Tomlins and the Carol Burnetts and the Roseanne Barrs. Because we never thought we were attractive, and the Kathy Griffins. So we're happy to talk about it.
I want to get back to that whole business about addiction, because there are people who do seem addicted to it. Do you see that as a problem, people who can't stop?
No more than somebody's a shopaholic. What is it? You know.
Yeah, but it's a dangerous operation, and often the people who are doing it are getting on in years, and any kind of surgery on a person past a certain age is more dangerous, isn't
but
it?
That's their choice. Here we go again. That's their choice. They're not doing it to you. They're not putting a gun to your head. If they want to do it to themselves, it's the same. I have a friend who weighs 400 pounds now. Woman that was a CEO of a major company and has just eaten herself into oblivion. Her choice. Terrible. Awful. What are you going to do?
There was a recent article in the New York Times that said that plastic surgery among teens had tripled over the past 10 years. Unlike some adults, they're looking for the wow factor. The article said that these kids would just, unlike the adults who were looking for the wow factor, the kids were just looking to fit in, to look normal.
If you're unhappy, I believe in that. If you have a child, I went to school with a boy whose ears, he could have hang glided over New York City. And I remember the teachers would, I wouldn't say his name, he's probably still alive. It was horrible. And you look back and you think, if his parents had just one summer had the ears pinned back, he would have had a much easier time of it.
But what about the other message that we may be sending that, again, men like big boobs. So if you're a teenager and you don't have big breasts, you're not going to get the guy.
Well, we're going to tell you the truth now. I have a whole routine in my act. If you have an ugly child, wake it up and tell it. And then take it to see Wicked. So you can say, see, ugly people manage to do well. And she was green also.
And so if Melissa had turned out to be less physically attractive as a teenager, you would have sent her to a plastic surgeon?
If she had wanted it. If she had come in and said, everyone's laughing at me because because my eye is up here instead of there, and I feel terrible, and I don't want to go. And it was killing her. You're damn right.
Is there an ideal age? Can you get it too young? Do your body then changes again?
I don't know. I remember people pushing my lunch off the counter in third grade because I was an outsider. It's about making a child's life happier. I'm not suggesting it for anybody. But if the child has ears that are balloons or a nose that it can smell around the corner, fix it when you can fix it.
Now, you got a caller who disagrees strongly with you about lesbians not being concerned with
the
parents.
Go.
And she says she wondered if you've seen the L word on television.
I love the L word. Here we go. Let me just start. I am a comedian, and I will say anything. So just calm down. Of course lesbians care about their appearance. Anyone that takes me seriously. I had a discussion with Eric Idle. Do you know who he is? From Monty Python.
Oh, Eric Idle, of course. He's been here.
So brilliant. So I said to him, what annoys you the most? He said, people always say to me, are you kidding, Eric? And he said, how much can I say to them? It's just a joke.
It's what I do for a living.
It's what I do for a living.
And you're working a lot. Two new books. You're covering the Academy Awards again this year, I assume.
We assume.
Do you have any desire to slow down?
Oh, God, no. I'm on Celebrity Apprentice. It starts in March. I'm on a regular on a show called Z-Rock, which is on IFC, which just were picked up. I have a new show coming out with Mark Burnett. We start in March. My jewelry company. Yeah. Oh, wow. Slow down. I love the work. I'm performing every Tuesday night now in a place called the Slipper Club, because every club I go into closes. So this is another little club I'm going into. No, I must have washed lepers' feet in a previous life, because God has given me such a good life in this one.
Just one more thing from a listener. Adolfo writes, a caller says, my wife had plastic surgery and it changed her appearance totally. What impact on the kids when they don't resemble the parents?
They might like your wife better. She'll be happier. If she's happier, they'll be happier.
Another person says, actually, guys don't like boob jobs.
Probably.
They feel awful to the touch, he
says. I would like to suggest that. I always wonder about that, because, that I would think a man would know it's a fake. I don't know.
I want to tell people that you will be at the Bank Street Book Nook in New Milford, Connecticut, this Saturday at 4 o'clock. And then next Thursday, the 29th, at 7:30 at the Barnes & Noble store at Lincoln Square for another one of your events in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Go to our show page on WNYC.org. Joan Rivers' latest book is Men Are Stupid and They Like Big Boobs, A Woman's Guide to Beauty Through Plastic Surgery, written with the help of Valerie Frankel. And it is published by Pocketbooks. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Great. Love talking to you.